It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. This is Mark Husson, and this is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour coming to you live December 4th at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. on the East Coast. How are you? I hope you had a beautiful weekend. We had a lovely Colorado weekend. It was just light dusting of snow, enough for the boys to play. I hope you got to see the video on Instagram, astrologer underscore Mark Husson, I believe it is, something like that. You'll find me. And I got to film the boys dancing in the snow. It was so much fun. And I was feeling it. I was feeling the love. Like, we were the first footprints in the snow. It was so great. So it's good to be with you here today on this Virgo moon. Yes, I told you in my note that I will be cleaning while I'm talking, but I really won't be. That is for somebody else to do, because in my head, cleanliness is next to godliness. So I am earthbound forever, I guess. So welcome to everybody that's listening in. Please join us if you want in the chat room. I know not all of you can come, and it's okay. It really is. The chat room is just a place for me to sort of know that I'm not talking to the world by myself. And you guys have proven that time and time again, because you're beautiful people, that I'm not. And I'm going to go over there now. And the way you get there is go to 12radio.com. Look in the left-hand column for the word chat. And you will be catapulted here if you click it. And you'll see some of the beautiful people in the chat room by clicking comments. Now, I've said this over and over. I have to worry about, and this is for really the hosts of Once Radio. When you go to comments and you click it, at the very top, it says top comments. But you want to hit all comments, or you might miss some people. Because you might miss the beautiful Terry Campbell in the house. Hi, Terry. Nice to have you here. She says, happy December. Yeah, I know. I'm definitely September guy, and for some reason in my head. It's nice to have you live, Terry. Thanks for coming. Hi, Tiffany. Welcome. Lynn, thank you for being here. Lynn, it's always good to see you, Lynn. Scorpio that you are. I hope your birthday was amazing. Good morning, Nadine. Scorpio as well. Always a delight to hear you on a Monday. A bit of passion flower. Love for the day. They grew outside my studio door. Oh my gosh, isn't that beautiful? Look at that. Those are absolutely beautiful, Nadine. This is one of the advantages of coming into the chat room. Denise is in the house. Nice to have you here, Denise. Thank you so much. Terry, thanks. Another Terry. Sometimes I'll say your guys' last name. Sometimes I don't. I don't know. I get a little nervous doing that. Always love starting the week with Mark in the show. Feeling that Venus and Scorpio shift for sure. Oh, aren't we though? I talked to you about that. I can't wait. Truly, thanks for being here. Hey, Tiff. December greetings. We got our first snow a few days ago. So exciting. Love from the bench. She actually wrote a little note in the snow. Isn't that sweet? Glad to hear about Virgo moon, because I'm having a procedure going under anesthesia this afternoon. Lordy, lordy, good time to do it. You're a Virgo, the Virgo moon. The doctor's going to be in tune with you. Hi, K-Dragon. Welcome. Thank you guys so much for being here. It's so good to talk to you live. It is like my breakfast brunch, which I swear, I mean, no matter how my dietary things change, I still fantasize about a giant breakfast buffet and you guys here and us just gossiping and having a good old time. I love that, because wow, it's like minds are really fun. I mean, and they're fun because they keep us safe, right? And safety is no way to grow. So we got to keep it to breakfast once a week. And I'll explain that. I definitely think that when you get into astrology from a psychological perspective, you definitely have to own some stuff. And that, and what I mean by that is, if you trust Carl Jung at all, or if you kind of buy into some of the more brilliant people that, you know, have studied this or have spent their time, who were paid to spend their time. And yeah, everybody has a personality. Everybody has things that we can say, oh, but they did this and they did this. But I'm not a big cancel culture person, even though I will stop using something if I'm offended, I guess. But I'm not big into the pick one thing and then hate on it, right? I used to be. I used to be. I'm growing up a little bit. The idea being, like Jung, so you picture this map in the sky, these planets whirling around. The sun has a path that it goes around the Earth, right? And we all know the sun isn't really moving around the Earth. It's us moving around the sun, but astrology is what things appear to be, right? So the sun's moving along this line, fairly consistent line called the ecliptic, and it touches full constellations, 12 of them. Now, it hit the toe of one of the constellations, which was the big, there are 13 signs thing that went around, and everybody was so happy because then everybody could admit astrology never really applied to me because I like my shadow being in the shadows, right? So it never really worked for me. Somebody told me I was vengeful. That's ridiculous, ridiculous. So the sun goes around this ecliptic, touches into the full astrological placement of all the zodiac signs. And Mo Abdelbaki, who has the Paisley Penny Arcade on Wednesdays. If you haven't listened to Mo's show, what a delight. But Mo is the one who sort of like got everybody to shut up about that 13th sign. It was like the sun doesn't go into that constellation. It hit the toe of that constellation. It was a huge constellation. So everybody sort of, that sort of settled down, and the 12 signs won again, thank goodness. And but we have this thing where the sun goes around the ecliptic, it's elliptic, and it touches the sun, every sign, right? The constellations, and those constellations reflect this macro of our micro. It reflects the hugeness of who we are. But it doesn't necessarily, it doesn't necessarily create who we are, right? It reflects who we are. And so when we take your first breath, you get this map, and this map sort of guides you into the parts of you that otherwise you can't see or you wouldn't see. We're using astrology, in other words, as a metaphor, as above, so below, right? We're just using it as a metaphor. And every time something in that sky changes, we have an opportunity to see a particular shift within us, not because of the change that happened in the sky, but as a reflection of what's happening inside of us. Just as we change, the sky changes. Just as the sky changes, we change. It's really, you have to see this as part of your dream, part of your extended collective consciousness. It just helps. It helps because then you're not, there's no more talk of that awful Saturn, what is that awful Mercury, and I have this horrible placement in my chart. It's horrible. It's the cause of all my doom. I know. Blame is fun, and I don't blame you for blaming. What I like is that we blame with a certain awareness that that's exactly what we're doing. And it is possible, it is quite possible that we don't want to look too deeply at these things that uncover us a little bit. We don't want to look too deeply because life was hell. My childhood was awful. I don't want to go back to it, right? We have all the reasons in the world. But then it begs the question, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of looking at astrology? What's the purpose of doing life? What's the purpose? What's the purpose? Are you going to the pearly gates when it's all over? Is that what really is happening? We're really just doing this to be good because there's an afterlife that will celebrate my choices here. Is that what it is? Okay, for you, that's great. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I tend to think we're given these gifts just to make us a little happier here while we're in life's waiting room. Living through life, trying to think we know what we're talking about, like to think we know what the purpose is, like to think we all have a purpose. So if you kind of play with the idea that the goal of your astrology chart is your personal well-being, just to be able to navigate this world with a little more joy, with a little less chaos than is given to us every single day, then you might have an opportunity to do some things, take some risks, go through some pain to build a better you. And what's a better you? Well, there's no measurement for it. It's like BMI, body measure, body, the fat index, right? The BF, what is it? The big BFD? The thing that tells doctors I'm obese. That thing, the measurement of the quality of life is personal, just like the, you know, how much you, the medical community wants to tell us we're bigger than we want to hear or something like that. And so quality of life means, what am I willing to take on? What am I willing to sort of do an internal look at? Scary as it might be. Like, it's fun to have everybody be your enemy. It's fun to have the enemies be enemies, like my parents, my sisters, whatever. It's fun to have them be the enemy. But it's also sometimes not very useful for me to walk through life carrying that constant message of, they did this to me. This is the, and I was just speaking yesterday to John about the, my dad was a professor. My dad was a counselor. My dad was a principal. He lived in education. He was academia plus, and not once did I get any guidance on choosing a career. When it was just known I'm going to go to school, because there's no way I was staying in that house. So I graduated early, left early, went, just got and jumped in summer school at West Virginia University. But never once did I have the mature adult conversation of, maybe this is what's going to help you in the future. Let's take a look at it. Now, I granted our relationship was so shit that, you know, I couldn't, you know, it wouldn't have happened. I probably wouldn't have let it happen. So I can't blame him completely. But we were just talking about, like, imagine the nudge. Imagine if somebody would have said when I was in junior high or grade school, keep taking French. You'll be so grateful. Keep taking Spanish. You'll be so grateful to have another language under you. So they didn't. And I didn't. And I can walk around with that little, oh, look. Look, that's one thing. That's one where I lost, like, you know, the sort of like, woe is meanness, the little donkey in Pooh or Schleprock in the Flintstones. And that's okay. We can have that. But there is the challenge. Is it possible that the next thing that happens when I look at my chart and I look at the strength in my chart and I look at the planets colluding in my chart to make me have a better life, that I might be ignoring aspects of myself? I might be casting parts of myself into the world around me that I don't want to see, because that's not fun. Why do I want to do any introspection that would have me be the bad guy? I don't want to do that. But what if I said, okay, I'm feeling a little stronger now. I'm going to take a look, see what the feedback is, see what this reflection is. I'm so afraid to look at. What if it were true? Or what if something befalls on my life that is so awful that it takes me years to undo it, to come out of it, and I become something different? Now, in the theory of alchemy, the idea is we're all heading toward the goal. Like, the psyche knows. The psyche isn't random. Your psyches aren't random. The thing that's driving you that people are calling crazy isn't just random. It's pursuing something. What if that were true? What if your pursuit, your neurosis, your whatever you're judging that is in you and moving forward, what if it's moving toward, it has a goal in mind? What if it's moving toward the alchemical gold? What if it wants to heal? And the only way it knows to, it's not random. It's bringing you things that are just freaking awful. I mean, in a lot of the mythology, disease, the person who granted you an illness granted it because you prayed for healing. And they gave you an illness. And yet it transformed you, which is a lot of what life can do. You can run. And a lot of us run, a lot of us keep busy, a lot of us keep moving, a lot of us keep that energy going. A lot of us, you know, I can find you every deal on the internet you ever wanted. A million people can say that. That's no great accomplishment, but it's definitely like I'm running. I know that. When I'm doing that, I'm running. It's okay, so what? Because today isn't the day that I'm going to kill the disease and transform and arise from it. It may never happen, whatever that disease is. But you have to believe that there's a part. If you do, you don't have to believe anything, but you can, if you hold the idea that your psyche that's running, that's pushing you, that makes you the crazy person that you are, that keeps you up late at night, that keeps you obsessing about every freaking thing you can think about and every possible ill and death and all the things that our minds do, that if you think it's pushing, if you imagine that it's pushing you towards some gold, you might take pause in hating on it so much. You might take pause in hating a certain circumstance in your life so much. If you thought for 1 minute, if you thought for 30 seconds that maybe it's pushing me to something greater and I have to walk through this to get it. And what's greater mean? Is it your ticket to heaven again? Is that what it is? Is that what we're all shooting for? Because I'm not shooting for that because I have no evidence of that. But I do have evidence that the psyche can relax, can bring me a certain kind of joy. If I change a little bit of the way I'm thinking, and that can bring us into the certain time period with Venus and Scorpio. I talked to you last week about Venus being one of the planets that when affected in the chart or can diagnose in the chart, not diagnose, I shouldn't say that, but can identify within the chart our depression, where we get depressed. Any relationship Venus has to Saturn is going to definitely open up an idea of what depression is. And depression, like this psychosis that I talked about, this thing that pushes our brain, depression can also push us to heal. Depression can push us to this place where we fight to survive and we fight to understand and we fight for self-love and self-preservation. It can identify that for us. But we need some tools. Definitely don't want to go spelunking without a trained spelunker. Or unless I took a class or saw it on YouTube and learned a little bit about it, and then I go diving in a cave and I can do it. But I don't want necessarily all of us to go, let's just dive into depression. Because you can get lost there. It's kind of scary to wake up one day and say, it's still not moved. I still haven't moved. It's still in the same place. It's not a joking matter to feel that stuff. Because the question will be, will my will come back to me? Will my zest for life come back? I have an illness. Like if you've been diagnosed with an illness, like you wake up and go, I have this illness and it's wanting to kill me. It's cancer. It's horrible. Da, da, da. Will my joy come back ever? What resolution do I make? What place in me do I find to hold on to remember? And that's a lot where people will talk spirituality. Have some place to go inside of you that brings you some peace, that gives you some reassurance, other than this nagging critical mind that goes, fix it, 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 fix it. I can't stand that voice. And it's in me. There is a place behind that voice. There really is. And the more practice we get at it, and I don't say close your eyes and meditate and get there. I don't want to do it that way. I just don't. Want to. I don't want to. I don't know what it is. What are you going to do? Every time somebody says, close your eyes, let's have a meditation, I run. I don't want to. But I have managed to create a still place, an idea of a still place in me by research, by study, by remembering that there is a place of stillness that's like a rock that loves me, that holds for me, that wants me. I have worked it building that and I see it. And it came when I was at my dark night of the soul, 29 years old, sitting in the corner of a kitchen, begging some piece of life to come and get me because I was fucking at the end. Scorpio, you know you're going to have moments like that, right? Or a lot of Scorpio. And so I saw the rock. I saw this piece, I saw this part that was unmovable, that was unbendable, that was saying, stand on me, it's okay, stand here. It's all right, the waves are going to get big, and there might be some bitey things in there, but stay with me. And it was gentle. It was kind. It was all I had. And I took it. And that's how I remembered. That's what I go to. That's where stillness is for me. When I'm terrified, I want to find that rock so bad. And John had once told me, we had talked about, you know, what the subconscious does, and we had read so many different versions of it, but the one I liked the most was, it's this friend that will never let you go. It's this rock that will constantly throw symbols at you until you freaking get it. When Jung was doing counseling with one of his clients, and he had a dream, and it was a symbol, and it was this big beetle necklace, and the whole time during the session, he hears this tapping at his door, this tapping at the window, and it was bugging this crap out of him, and the wind was blowing. He just figured it's like, you know, something was, rocks were banging at the window. When he opens the window, it was a beetle. The client was talking about a beetle. There was a beetle banging at the window. Jung was blown away. When Jung wrote the introduction to the I Ching, which is another example of using metaphor in a huge way, the opening of the Wilhelm Baines book is the story of how he throws the coins about a situation that he was in that he really wanted to stay in. And the message was, get out, leave it. And it was then that he realized and started smelling the smoke, and he looks around and his house is on fire. And the I Ching in this moment, in that very moment, was saying, get the hell out of your house. You're going to die. Move. And he writes about it. You can read it yourself. It's in the front of the Wilhelm Baines book of I Ching. And it's a gorgeous story about the subconscious mind. Always your friend. Always. Now that same subconscious mind that brings us our dreams at night, that brings us our dreams in the day, that we can benefits from the conscious mind helping tie it together. So it's like you have this friend that's sort of like trying to talk to you in sign language and you're just like staring, but then another friend comes along and goes, oh, I can help you interpret that, right? Let's see what it means. Let's solve the mystery. Using your mind to do that is kind of an amazing guiding tool. What a gift. Because now we're not using the mind to summarize, oh, they're all out to get me. The I Ching even hates me. It's saying there's something else here. Let's help tie it together. And the subconscious mind now has an ally. And that is where life can really be enhanced. And that's what I think moves us forward. Now let's talk astrology. I know that's why you come. Venus just went into the sign of Scorpio. Venus just went into the most seriously dark, can be scary sign. That's what we project onto Scorpio, right? They can dig so deep, it's ridiculous. That wants us to face the pain and agony of Medusa that she faced, which is why you turn to stone when you look at her. And and Venus, one of the most lovely, most, you know, what we appreciate, it's the artist, the artistic within us, the creative, is in there spinning this weave, spinning this beautiful web for us to be able to capture a little more deeply some of the mysteries that we might be a little more afraid of, like when Mars was in Scorpio. To sort of help us with a guided, gentle hand, like the subconscious mind, to pull us into that little corner that we may not normally want to go in. When it was in Libra, it was like, no, I don't want to go there. I really need to get some holiday lighting around the house. I want to keep this pretty, and it's beautiful, and we'll make it pretty. This will be the most pretty Christmas. This will be the most artistic Christmas that we've ever had. This will be the one that lightens up your heart. And I got all these little LED lights, solar lights, I think I told you, and I put them on the trees. And then I realized when the sun ain't out, it'll be dark outside. And I took that as an omen of when I'm looking out the window for the light and the lights aren't lit, that I can remember something. And I can remember it was just the sun wasn't on all day. It's not the lights hate me. Right? Do whatever I want with it. So now Venus goes into Scorpio, takes our hand and says, let's take a little deeper look. And it's safe. Now I have a tour guide. Now I have a spelunking guide that gets me down the cave a little bit more help. And man, look for it, because you are going to see it. It just happened. Venus went in today. Well, wait a minute. Did it even go in yet? It goes in at 10 something a.m. So it's coming. I'm glad. I'm so glad it's still in Libra. So when Venus enters into Scorpio, 10:56 a.m., I believe it is, Pacific time. So map that out. You will feel the shift. We get to have the shift that goes from being, isn't shopping fun. So let's dig a little deeper into the parts of my hurt and my pain and my parts of my psyche that might be bringing me a little bit of fear here that I'm a little too afraid to look at without some help. And that's literally what, to me, that's literally what it can do, is bring us the help we need. Now, I want to say hi to you guys, because I've been talking a lot, and I want to always like to take a break and just see how you're doing, because I go off on tangents, as you know. So I'm hitting the comments. I'm hitting all comments again where it says top comments, and then I can scroll down and see all of y'all. Tara, thanks for being here. Julie's in the house, counting down to the solstice, but you bring the light in the meantime. Ah, you are too. That see, that's such a good example of like little moments of the subconscious mind. Quelly, thank you. Good to have you here. Love the little icons. I just want to go through each one of them. Pamela, let's see. Hello, Mark and everyone. Thanks for being here, Pamela. Good to see you. Claudia, thank you. So fun to see your pups frolicking in the snow. Thank you. I wanted to put up a lot longer video, and I was like, you know, these are your doggies, not everybody else's. So just have a moment. Thanks, Claudia. That's sweet. Denise, thank you. Yesterday was my birthday. Happy birthday, Denise. That's so good. I hope it was special for you. I hope you took a big breath, because right after your birthday, Venus goes into Scorpio, and on your birthday, could be your solar chart. And see, we don't know. Let me explain that real quick. The solar chart, your birthday chart, you were born at a certain time when the sun was in a degree, right? A certain degree. And when, let's see, you know what? And the sun, let me just see this. The sun is in Sag. I'm so far behind, aren't I? Let's say it was at 3 degrees of Sag. What we do is we wait for the sun in the sky now to be at 3 degrees of Sag, and that's when it returns to your place of birth. So it could be today. It could have been yesterday. It could have been the day before. So your solar chart, your actual birthday chart, can vary. But I digress. Happy birthday. I hope it was special to you. Gosh, this is the Sag time. It is. And it's funny, because we get to have the sun in Sag and get to feel the uplift of Sag while Venus takes us on the spelunking trip. There's some hope here. Hi, Laura. Thank you. Alicia, stop the hate, fam. Good for you. I love it. Gwen, thank you. Okay, so Terry says, my astrology chart tells me as a Gemini, my highest desire is amusement. Life is worth enjoying all the gifts, and I'm claiming amusement. There you go. Okay. Jennifer Lakshmi's in the house. Thank you, Jennifer Lakshmi Dove. Beautiful story. This rock that will never let you go. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's good to have you here. You know, a few of these people that I'm talking to are advisors. Terry's an advisor. Jennifer's an advisor. Kay's an advisor at 1-2-LISTEN. You can always reach out. You know, that's our lifeline. And they will attest to you. They're here because it is what it says it is. It's a place where screened people can have someone to talk to. You can have someone to talk to who's been screened. Scorpios have lots of dark nights of the soul. Sigh. Okay, it's true. And every sign can go through a dark night of the soul. It's almost like Scorpios are more equipped because we do it anyway. And if it's not feeling dark night of the soul, we'll bring one. So if you have Scorpio moon, Scorpio sun, Scorpio rising, Scorpio Mercury, Scorpio Venus, Scorpio Mars, Scorpio Jupiter, we'll even give it to Saturn. If you have any one of those, Venus is coming to lighten it up a little bit. And by lighten it up, it means take you deeper, safer. Now, wherever Scorpio is in your chart, Venus is going to be there too. And what you want to know, notice if you have Saturn in Taurus, that's going to be, you have the potential to enter some depression. And I want, that's why I'm talking to you about depression during these times where the sun starts, where we start losing daylight. They're not losing daylight in Australia. They're doing the reverse, but theory has it, they experience it the way we do. In other words, their psyche also gets depressed during their summers, where we get depressed during our winters. We'll talk to some Aussies about that. We should actually have a show on it. But that's what the experts who study psychology tell me, that the psyche, all psyches during this time, this particular tilt of the axis, experience a certain... So in other words, you're not going to be born in this here, fly to Australia and just have summer and avoid depression. It's not going to happen. It's more a collective unconscious thing. So, and is depression inevitable? No. Just because the days are getting darker? No. A lot of people, I love that. I love the fireplace effect. I love the stillness of the town. I love when it gets dark. I love the, I love when the clocks are where they're supposed to be. I love all that. But it doesn't mean there's a little more teary reflection, that there's not a little harder version of life to look at. And that's what I wanted. That's really what I keep harping with you about, is to take stock of your depression. Depression as hopelessness, depression as despair. These are all key words. They're not these gashes in your walk path to prevent you from moving forward. They are truly your gifts of gold. It's so important for you to know your depression. It's so important for you to look at the disillusionment that gets presented to you and stay present with it. It's so important. We're so afraid. We're so afraid to take a moment. And I'm with you. Nobody wants, like, what do you think Prozac was invented for? What do you think this stuff is for? This sort of keep me above it at all costs, because I can't take it. I don't know what's in there. Well, what do you think you don't know what's in there for? Why do you think you don't know what's in there? We push it out. And if you're aware that there might be something there that you're afraid of, and it might just be afraid, the words might be, I'm afraid of stopping. I just don't want to stop. I don't want to stop and feel anything. I'm afraid. What we're afraid of is what your mind will do to you, and the amazing amounts of hate and judgment that will come up, parentally guided by, in other words, we're taking the message of our parents and whoever raised us, the most important figures in our life, and we're slamming ourselves when we hit those walls. It sounds so trite. It sounds, when I say it out loud, it sounds like that can't be true. That's just so too simplistic. But if you took a moment and thought about what the voices were saying to you, and if you can, if you have to act like you're saying them to a little girl or boy in front of you to hear it, then act like you're saying it to another child in front of you, and see if you don't see the hatred and the vitriol, or recognize the voices that are talking. Because all that's being asked in our depression is that we allow that to have as much light as we give the things that we value, like shopping, hopping. Asking for equal time is not a sin from depression. Fear. What is the fear? Fear you're going to go to hell? Fear some belief system took you over? Fear that you can't shake some of the OCD-ness? Some of the obsessive compulsive thoughts that occur, like you can't shake those. Well, then guess what? You got to bring the rock with you. If it has to be the movie star rock, do. But if the other one is the one that your subconscious mind, as your ally and friend, an observer, bring the observer, bring the rock, bring something that says, it's okay, I'm here. Let's take a look at this. What the hell is this? What is this icky place? Don't identify with the place. Observe the place. There's a big difference in walking through, because guess what you get? You get the opportunity to bring one more piece of individualization to yourself, one more piece of you that's been discarded, albeit unfairly, because of a big fat judgment placed on it, because your life was being threatened, because our lives are threatened as children. Our parents hold the threat of life and death over us all the time, unconsciously. Who's going to feed us? Go to your room without eating. I mean, who's going to beat us with the belt buckle? Your life is threatened constantly as children, even if you had the most conscious parents in the world. There's something you do, they guided you, that they didn't like. And they're not the bad guys. They're just people. You do it to everybody too. So it's not about blame. It's about you, what you did with those moments in your life, what you did with this depression. It sits in front of you like a burning road that you can't walk on and you're barefooted. No, I'm not going there. And when you do go there, when it hits you and you can't get out of it, we want to die because we don't know what this is. It's a piece of us. It's just a piece of us that misinterpreted an event. Usually it's something so able to be hugged. And it's not like, oh, let's hug it out. I'm not trying to trivialize it. I'm trying to say sometimes you have to walk weeks into this with the belief and the knowledge that this is how you come out. This is how you heal the disease. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not giving you any psychological, mental, medical advice. There's some people that have serious chemical imbalances and need to work to whatever they need to do to get on their feet and feel okay. I'm just talking about those moments where you feel terrified to walk through a still place that is like where nothing moves you anymore. You're afraid you don't love your partner anymore. You're afraid you're going to be broke. You're afraid that you have a disease. You're afraid you're going to die too soon. You're afraid the loved one's going to die. Whatever it is, those moments that just like nothing is moving you. It just feels still and dead inside. And you're at the same time judging who you are. Venus is helping here. So at 11 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 10:56 to be exact, but 11 o'clock a.m. Pacific, Venus is going to enter Scorpio and bring the cavalry. Venus is going to bring with her some loving support to go into these deeper abysses, to go into these deeper places. And it happens all the time. Venus soon in January, like right at the beginning of January, Venus is going to conjunct the sun. Venus is going to be at the same degree the sun is. And I want you to try to picture this. We call that a full moon in Venus because the earth will be in between the sun and Venus will be the farthest she's going to be from the earth, but in the same sign as the sun. So it's what we would see with a full moon, but a little different when you play with Venus. And I don't want to confuse you. It's just called that. It's called a full moon in Venus because she's going direct. She will hit the sun 5 times in a cycle when she goes, and she will hit the sun 5 times going forward, and she will hit the sun 5 times going retrograde. So 10 times Venus will hit the sun. And if we track it, we know it's coming up in January. If we track it, I think you're going to find some amazing insight every single time on your life. And I'll work with you on this. We'll get the notebooks out. We'll start picking the dates and we'll see the Venus cycle and what it does. And it's phenomenal. Venus isn't just what you love. Venus is the thing. It's not just the things you like, and it's not just the pretty art thing. Venus also describes the judgments that we might place on the things we don't love. So Venus is going to help us uncover a little bit of the Scorpio energy, which is, where have I been so afraid of parts of myself that I buried it? Okay, so that's, now when you have Virgo in there, like you have today, like little dash of Virgo, I want you to see the, I want you to imagine the potential for self-criticism here, because the other side of Virgo is just like why, where you get to wake up in your consciousness and go, whoa, what the hell? Why is this room like this? How have I been living? I always, when I say that stuff out loud, I always think it's only you saying that when you look at your own bedroom, but it is opposing Saturn, and so it's activating. A lot of you have this Saturn in Pisces time period. A lot of you listening, it's a demographic, have this Saturn in Pisces and definitely struggle in your relationships. And I need to elaborate on that too. We'll do that on another show. But if you have Saturn in Pisces, if you have Chiron in Pisces, if you're in that generation where you have all that Pisces and then you had all that Virgo with Pluto there, and that, you know, you're probably close to 60. Wow. You're feeling it. And these moons like this, like today, they accentuate it. And they bring out this sort of, it can be empowering or it can be super disempowering. If you're in a good cycle with it, you're going to feel empowered. If you're not, you're going to start tearing yourself to pieces. It's very important for you to understand that your mind acts as judge and jury. And if your mind is acting as judge and jury, then there's a part of you that is not the judge or the jury that you've ignored. And that's what we call abandonment. When you become the judge and jury, when you literally step into your own shoes and go, I hate this part of my life, I hate this thing that's going on, da, 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 then you've basically tossed out the jury. You've tossed out, You've tossed out the child. You've tossed out the observer. You've identified with the child now, so you've abandoned all hope. You took the rock and threw it out the window. So this form of self-criticism that you do, and we all do it, when you're so in the thick of it that you know you're right and you know no one else can tell you anything about it and you know the only thing you can do is just sort of like, I'm just going to go run or whatever you do, then basically you've just taken up rent in the head of your child, your inner child. And now you're identified with the child. Like, I'm the victim. I'm scared. There's no one here to protect me. There's no other. So there's no way in. There's no way any other voice, any other thought, any other sense of protection can help, no matter what the planets are doing around you. You have to do your own work. The cost of being free as an individual is going through some shit. It's going through some pain. It's facing some of the stuff. No one is exempt. That's the cost of a full life. That's the cost of wholeness. That's the cost of independence, of happiness, of true sheer like individuation. You have to walk through some of the things you tossed away as a child, some of the fears that you gave. Venus is definitely helping here. So those of you in that cycle, I want you all, particularly the Saturn in Pisces people right now, and if you're a first-time Saturn in Pisces user, you're 28 years old, good for you. Remember this. Intimacy is scary. You probably have been burnt to a crispy crunch in love. You don't know how to, you got to walk, got sea legs when it comes to love. And it's okay. You both, the 28-year-olds and the 56-year-olds, have an opportunity to bring some healing in by starting to develop a relationship with the observer, the neutral observer who goes, okay, settle down. Everybody settle down. You're not going to use the same mind that created this crazy to solve the crazy. We got a different mind to use, so let's connect with that one. And that's the importance of this cycle. That's why when the moon goes into Virgo, a lot of you notice this sort of crazy increases. I'm not calling Virgo crazy. It's a mental sign. It's Mercury ruled. And if you tend to have a Mercury ruled sign, then your worship and your identification and the way you think of life is going to be mental. And if you are a mentally oriented sign, very little to do about your body. Except how you mentally control it to not eat this, not do that. It's about the literal antithesis of true inspiration. And wherever you have Virgo in your chart, you might misinterpret inspiration. You might be able to use some inspiration in that area of your life. back to Venus. So Venus in Scorpio is going to help us, a lifeline to go a little deeper into these things. And here's what I would suggest we do during this next 30-day period. Develop a relationship with the neutral part of the voice in your head, the one that we would say might be connected to the love source, but be connected to neutrality. Be able to look at some of the uglier parts of yourself. Dip a toe into the uglier parts of what you think are the uglier parts of yourself and sort of stay there for a minute. Okay? Just be present with it. See if you can avoid judgment. See if you can avoid all the reasons that you got there. Don't, you know, notice all the blame that goes on. Notice everything that's going on in your mind. See if you can get there and hang for a little bit. And Venus will constantly, and this is the affirmation, Venus will constantly bring us a symbol or a reward, a metaphor, an omen, something to help us get through. And that's the intent that I think is being said to us, that even though Venus is entering Scorpio, it's not now sending those waves to us. It's we're entering that part of us that's saying, I'm willing to go deep. All of us are. And it's being reflected by the planets, right? Okay, so I'm checking on you guys, see how you're doing. I'm reloading the page very quickly. And then, okay, thank you. And then we're hitting some, I have to do all comments. I'm saying that for the hosts of Once Radio so they remember to do that, because I know so many people get overlooked. I've said it a million times. Okay. Chris, Diana, thank you for being here. I Ching may not hate you, but the runes might. That's good. I don't know exactly. I don't know. I don't know what. Did you have some bad runics? Do the runic interpretations get scary? I don't know. I used to pull the little bag of runes. I never was afraid of them. Rachel Hill, good morning. Glad to be tuning in. Lynn, Sun, Mars, Neptune in Scorpio, Moon in Taurus. Look at that full moon, girl. Perhaps an opportunity for some breakthroughs. Great conversation about depression, despair, Mark. Thank you. Lynn, you're so kind. And full moon, look at you. That is like such a gift to come in and be able to explore. And I bet you have. Thanks, Yan. Thanks. Thank you for saying all this. Currently dealing with a double Scorpio, dealing with depression, as I also have a Scorpio moon. Tough times for us emotionally. Yan, I'm so sorry. And I'm so glad that you have the Scorpio to deal with. It's tough. It is tough. One of the ways to untoughen it a little bit is to see it as a part of you, but not be in it, but not of it. Okay, I'm here. This is depression, but it is not who I am. It is not what I am. There's a piece of me wanting to heal. It's like the myth I told you about where the goddess would send an illness when somebody prayed for healing, and she'd send an illness. It was the alchemical push for healing. It's the alchemical push here. Emotionally tough times, they are tough. When the very mind then decides to observe it and say, it's tough. It is tough. It is tough. And we identify with it and the mind keeps going. We have to create an external rock. We have to create that external distance if you can. Otherwise, there's a mantra that can come through that says, this will pass. This bit, like two ions, a negative and a positive ion, when they're experienced, will disappear. When your feelings want you to feel them, when you feel them, the feeling will dissipate. Your thoughts want you to think them. When you think them, the thought that has, and you look at it, you think of it, you release it. Neither want you to act on them. So hope that helps. Maya, good morning. Lori Love, Capricorn seriously needs to catch a break. Do you though, Lori, those Capricorns? That's great. It's so funny how we have a push that is so unconscious in us sometimes. And then we go, oh my God, I need a break. But we feel that push, like the part of us that just can't let off the gas. So, and I'm just teasing. I know what you meant, and I agree with you. We all need a break, and Capricorns particularly could use a break. But they are the heart. They are the heart. Those are the hardest ones, I think, Capricorns, to get to stop for a minute and to take all the pragmatism and sort of just let it drop And what is it? What is all the earth signs are looking for? What is their opposite? They're all looking for fire. All the earth signs, Taurus, Capricorn, Virgo, all looking for fire. And what is fire? It's inspiration. It's their opposite. That's why, if you notice, and I've said this a million times, that what the earth signs are always accused of being too pragmatic, not inspiration, not driven by inspiration. And the fire signs are all accused of being ungrounded, like the opposite, the earth, right? The accusation is you lack your opposite, okay? Air signs, they're what are they accused of? Being cold, the absence of water, being cold, being ruthless, being heartless. And what are water signs accused of? Being unintelligent, just following your feelings. You know, feelings don't care what the facts are, right? Facts don't care what your feelings are, right? That's like the perfect phrase for the war between the air and the water. So in this cycle, I'm going to wrap us up. But in this cycle that we're going with, and this was truly, believe it or not, the whole dialogue today was about Venus in Scorpio. This whole thing, as we go through this week, and Mars is coming up to the sun, 5 days away from being conjunct with the sun. Mars, we want to look at the news. We want to pay attention to what's going on. This is your time to develop that relationship with the part of you that is, develop a relationship with the part of you that is strong beyond compare, that is unbelievably unrelenting. And it's striving to reach you. This is the time to remember the subconscious mind as your dearest, truest, in love with you, never will let you go, never going to give you up. Rick Astley voice that I am here for you forever. And I will constantly send you messages. This is your 30-day cycle to develop that relationship. Or if you have that relationship, to strengthen it. Because that's going to bring us home. In the spirit of the holiday, I want you always to remember how much you mean to me and how grateful I am to every week be able to come and talk to you and to have your loving feedback and your loving support. My heart and soul, my bread and butter is 12listen.com, where advisors talk to you by phone, chat, or video. And the reason it's important to me is because they're real. We know every one of them. I haven't had as many staff meetings as I've wanted in a long time, but you're not going to find a site like it on the internet where everyone's connected and not in, like, they don't know, like, they all don't know each other, but they all have this sort of high level respect for the process of healing and working with you. So thank you for supporting them. That's 12listen.com. 12radio. I like to special shout out to Jay, who works tirelessly to get us all on the air and to get our recordings on, up in on demand, because they're on demand. I'm at Buzzsprout. If you want an easy way to do it, I'm also on Apple Podcasts. Also, Jay puts all that up, and he still manages to be wise to do his own shows and to be a reader at 12. So special hugs to Jay. CA is back. You might have noticed, or maybe you didn't notice she was even gone, but she is back. She took a beautiful and long needed respite, and it's just great to have her back. Her voice has always been in the power peak. She writes them before she leaves, whenever she takes a break. But I just wanted to say, if you've missed her show, she's back live. And so special thanks to all of you, to the radio hosts. You all are my heart and soul. Thank you for also being so willing to get your voice on there every week. And I know it's not easy, but you do it. Okay, you guys, I'm wishing you a beautiful week ahead. Neptune will go direct. We're going to talk about that next week a little more. But you Pisces people, woo, finally, you get a chance to feel like you can reconnect with us. Welcome back from your dream, wherever it is you are. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour, and I'm wishing you a beautiful week ahead. Stay well.